serve. So obviously this topic is miracles of Jesus, and there's quite a few to choose from. And when I started making the list or whatever, I said, okay, let's answer these same questions for every single one. And I'll be honest with you, I was surprised at some of the answers that I got on different ones. My methodology on picking the miracles was I wanted something, you know, I wanted different. I wanted random. I wanted not the same. And I think we'll see that there's all different kinds of miracles. So, but before we start, why even study this? Why don't we study the miracles of Jesus? And there's more than one correct answer. What do you think?
John 20:30-31.
So that you might believe. Absolutely. And that's to me like the whole book of John is trying to get people to understand, especially the Jews, you know, I'm the Son of God. Listen to what I'm telling you, and here's the works proving who I am. What else? Why else study these miracles? Yep, that's another one I had. You'll see these miracles, you know, so these will be vast different than what you see claimed today. The ones today obviously are nothing like what we'll read about. They're completely false. They're magic at best or just fraud. So any other reason why we should study these miracles?
They confirm who Jesus was. If he's a prophet, so anything that he said gives you credence that whatever he says is going to happen because of the miracles.
Absolutely. And also, it's not the main reason he did it, but it also showed Jesus' compassion, his caring for people, his kindness, how he cared about people. You see that time and time again, how he felt bad for some of these people, how he helped them. All right, how many miracles did Jesus perform? Yes, I know it's a trick question. How many are recorded?
36 individual miracles.
If I Googled it, you got anywhere from 37 to 42. But what's the caveat? Same verse you could use, John 30. Many others Jesus performed. How many of the verses are in there that you it just happened to casually throw in? He was healing people as he went through the village. He was curing others of sickness. Many of those. So we truly don't know how many. But we have 36, 37 that are recorded. And I picked 8, and we'll see if we blow through them or maybe not get through all these. These 8 that I picked. Obviously, I give you the verse that I pick from. I don't tell you immediately which miracle it is. I wanted you to read it and figure it out. So let's turn to John 4. I'll read the first one, then y'all can debate amongst yourselves who'd read the next one. John 4, verse 46. Therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water to wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed that the word Jesus spoke to him and started off. As now he was going down, his slaves met him, saying his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. They said to him, "Yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." He himself believed, and his whole household. So just location-wise, in geography, where did this miracle occur? Where is Galilee? Northern Israel. A lot of times, I would think, or I've thought in the past, that a lot of Jesus' miracles were around Jerusalem, which is the southern part. But there's a lot on this list that are actually in the northern part. Galilee, Capernaum, that area. What was the miracle? What were we reading about? Healing of the official son. The official son was just had a little cough. What was the issue? Point of death. Who requested the miracle? Father, that's an easy one, but that's always not an easy question as we go through. The father, who was a royal official, a legitimate request from any parent to try to save their child.
It's interesting that a royal official would come to Jesus and ask
him. Obviously, he had some level of belief, right, that it could happen. So, who benefited? Who benefited from this miracle? The obvious one is the child, right? Who else? He's the only. Absolutely. The royal official, his household, all his slaves, employees.
I put it out there, one of those where you asked that, the witness.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of all this, right? Who else saw what was going on? I mean, you're innocent, or you could have been a bystander. And now this one's a little different, which is kind of the reason why I picked it. So who witnessed the event? This is household. Who did not witness the event? The father. To me, that's different, right? Obviously, he was some journey away because it said the seventh hour. So kind of jump down to G, what is unique or different about this miracle? I said the royal official didn't even know. He could believe, but he didn't know. There was no instantaneous verification. Absolutely. Four words. Go, your son is healed. That's all it took. So, I think I skipped in number E. How was the miracle performed? Jesus just spoke. I mean, I just found that intriguing. I mean, you talk about, a lot of times you think, hands on people, or he did this, but no, he just spoke and it happened. Anything else that you found unique or different about this miracle that jumped out at you? Yeah, I mean, to me, I could take at least one or two ways on that. Was he just curious? Like, he kind of knew in his mind, hey, I know Jesus said it about this. Obviously, I don't think they had watches back then. They knew exact, but he had a general idea, and that was exactly when it happened. And obviously, because he believed. Him and his household believed when he learned that.
That's another interesting thing. Time stamp.
On the seventh hour? Yeah. And let's see, I think if I have it in, that's the footnote says perhaps 7 p.m. So that's when the fever left him. So the father knew it was at that hour which Jesus said to him, your son lives. Okay, anything else before we move down to number two? Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, he didn't question him. He said go, and he went, right? He didn't say, well, how do I know? But yeah, and what did he know about the previous miracle? He had, like I said, he had obviously enough faith or belief that it was going to happen to come talk to him, and left when Jesus told him to go. On the second one, let's read Luke 4. Anyone want to read 31 through 37? Remember, we're all around the couch here. It's home Bible study. Oh, go.
Thou come to destroy us? Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold your peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out unto every place of the country round about.
Thank you. I don't know about y'all, but I'm intrigued by the miracles with the human has a spirit or possessed by a demon. I guess because we don't typically see that today, and just the reaction or that, you know, that what happens to these spirits. I'm just intrigued by it, and I enjoy reading about it. So, where did this miracle take place?
Capernaum.
Same places, same neck of the woods as the first one. What was the miracle? Healing of the man with mine says an unclean spirit. Who requested the miracle? I don't think it tells us who requested it. I mean, I'm sure he would like to have it gone, but I don't see a formal request. He came down to Capernaum. They're amazed at his teaching. In the synagogue, there was a man. So I don't see that anyone really requested, compared to the miracle number one we looked at, where the father, the royal official, that no one requested this. Okay, who benefited from it? The man. The man, absolutely. What was his life like before? What was his condition? Yeah, I mean, in 35 it says a demon has thrown him down in the midst of the people. So not a good situation. Not something that he wanted or anybody else wanted. We see this is probably pretty tame compared to what the other spirits did. How was a miracle performed? Same thing. Now, is this different? Verse 35, mine says, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And it took, what, 30 minutes for that to happen, or how long did?
Instantly.
He came out. So, obviously, the man benefited. Who else? And amazement came upon them all, and they began talking with one another. What is this message? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And how about people that maybe weren't even there? The report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. That would be an interesting story to hear from your neighbor about what they witnessed in the synagogue that day. So what's unique and different about this one?
One of the interesting things is that statement you just read shows his authority and power over another realm of being above man. We don't know a lot about these spirits. There's some kind of rational being that was allowed in the first century to inhabit the bodies of men and take control. Jesus spoke to them as if they were rational beings.
And that's the reason I picked this. Verse 34, right? I mean, the demon speaks to Jesus. "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." That's accurate. There's no lies detected there, right? So the demon speaks. What else is different? What else did you find intriguing? Once again, rebuked him. How would we don't say rebuked today. He rebuked the demon. We don't use that word rebuke a lot today. What does that mean? What's a good term? Do parents rebuke? Yeah, get on to, scold, discipline. That's how I, you know, constructive criticism maybe, opportunities for improvement. Now the question I have, and that's this is an I don't know bucket, but where did the spirit go? Where did this unclean spirit go? I don't know. It's another interesting fact to this, I think. We'll kind of dovetail it into that while it's, and we'll, I think we'll see it later, but how many times are there Pharisees or opponents or detractors that witness these miracles? And two, they never deny that they happen. Ever see them question themselves like, we just saw something that's not normal. We just saw a sign and wonder. But then, and they never like, maybe I need to reevaluate my situation. Maybe I need to reevaluate my thinking of this guy. It never happens. They believe it, they see it, they can't deny it, but they never do reflection or change their ways. I don't know if that's pride, greed, fear, I don't know. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they ever change their ways or need some self-reflection. Anything else on healing of the man with unclean spirit in the synagogue? I don't know if this man was in his right mind to have faith, right? And did the royal official's son have faith? We don't know, right? He was a fever to the point of death. He might even know who Jesus was. We don't know even how old he was. So, Linda, to your point, the first two examples, that doesn't hold up, does it? Number three. Let's go to John 6 on this one. And you could probably take up a whole class on this miracle alone. John 6, starting verse 5. Craig, go ahead.
Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient, that everyone may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. What are they among?" He said, Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise with the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world."
Thank you, Craig. So once again, we're still around the Sea of Galilee. Maybe some of the same people. I don't know. So what was the miracle? Feeding 5,000 people? 5,000 men. So, right, plus women and children. And if you've ever tried to feed children, that's an effort. So who knows, right? 6, 7. Double, 10,000, who knows? Who requested the miracle?
No one.
Now, I guess somewhat of a caveat, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew the situation, and I would say Philip and them knew kind of hey, we don't have enough money for all this. They knew the situation. They knew kind of in dire straits they were. Obviously, Jesus had a plan all along. So who benefited? Obviously, the 5,000. Who else? The disciples. How was the miracle performed? How was it carried out? That's the one I thought about. How in the world? So he puts them in, say there's 5,000 for an even number. We know it's more than that. Groups of 50. That's 100 groups. How long did that take? That's a process. So the disciples were just coming to get the baskets, and the Lord was handing it to them. They just full every time. Full every time. And did they, everybody just get a little bit, a little loaf here, half a fish? What was the scenario? Everybody was full. Yep, absolutely. So who witnessed the event?
Everyone that was there.
The 12 disciples and the people. It's a miraculous event. I don't know how to describe, just the logistics of how that got done, how long it took. Who witnessed, what is unique about this one? I think we already talked to one. They all ate. They were satisfied.
Number of people.
And was like the last crumb. What was left over? Where they started with. So. So this is, obviously this is a different one than, no one was healed here. This is different than what we've read before. I found it interesting that this miracle is recorded in all four Gospels. So you could read all four of these and get a little bit more information, something different. Disciples weren't being the most neighborly people here, were they? I mean, it's late, beat it. You ought to go home. We're all hungry here. And they obviously didn't have enough money. I don't know how much money it would have taken to feed that many. Craig?
This one's interesting, too, because when it was done, they said, well, truly this is the problem that comes in the world. When Jesus said it later in the chapter, in verse 26, he said, "Most truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to life, which is the Son of Man is in you, the Son of Father says so." So there's a reaction that the people have, but at the same time in their hearts, sometimes they were just following Jesus.
Not much different than today, huh? How am I entertained? How are you taking care of me? Don. He has compassion on them. I think they'd been with him for a while. So, And it's obviously that's a lesson he was trying to teach the disciples as well. Like, we need to have compassion for these people. I've given you special talents. I've given you the ability to do things. So help those who you can help. Agreed. And let's say, I don't know about this. I don't know if this is true or not. How do I know the apostles believed it was true? How could I prove that? That these miracles, I mean, not this one, but all these miracles they saw. How do I know that they believed it was accurate, that it was truth?
Go ask the people that were.
Well, how many times did they get beat afterwards? How many times, John and Peter, Acts 3, beat, put in jail. Am I going to get beat and put in jail for a fraud? For something I don't believe in? Absolutely not. So that's how I know that at least they believed it was true at the time. For their actions afterwards. Anything else before we move on to number 4? It kind of stays in the same vein here. Same scene or scenario. Let's turn to Matthew 14 on this one. Matthew 14, 22. I'm going to read 22 through 33. I will take it. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side where he sent the crowds away. After he sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from land, battered by the waves, so the wind was contrary. And at the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly the Son of God." When they crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. So this is literally on the Sea of Galilee, location-wise. What was the miracle? And trick question, I'd say there's probably 3 here. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, one made one miracle, 2 people, right? Jesus walked on the water. Peter walked on the water for a little bit, and then the calming of the sea. Who? Okay. Right, yeah. This is zipped across, right? Well, you know, they were rolling pretty hard. So maybe when the wind stopped, they got going. So, who requested the miracle? Obviously, Jesus walked on the water. He didn't want to request that, right?
Peter requested his part.
Yep. But good old Peter, right? He's either all in or all out. One of the two, right? So, what was Peter's statement? Well, first he's like, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out there." I'm not really sure if it's you or not, but so if it is, come. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. Even that statement right there. I know all y'all as a little kid, when you've tried to walk on water at a pool. You try to run across. You don't begin to sink. I mean, it's like you sink. I mean, there's no beginning to it. You're there. So, Peter, he just... And then, so Jesus scolds him. He says, "You know, Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him. "Ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind stopped. So who benefited from this? Disciples? Most of all, Peter. Peter benefited because now he was going to drown. Who witnessed the event? Disciples. In Mark's version, Mark 6:31, it says they were utterly astonished. What do they, in verse 26, what do they think it was? Ghost. I don't know what that, like, have they ever seen a ghost before? Why do they think it was a ghost? What did it look like? What time of day was this? Let me ask you that question. Middle of the night.
When you say ghost, we think Halloween. They meant spirit.
Spirit. But obviously, there was something they saw, right? So it was illuminated. Is that a fair? I mean, you had to see something. It was the middle of the night, unless maybe it was a full moon. I don't know. So we're kind of jumping into it. What's unique about this miracle?
When they witnessed it, it's like against the law of physics.
I don't know. It's one of these versions. I didn't write it down, but I remember reading it. It said he intended to pass by. Like he wasn't going to even... I guess he was just going to meet him over there and, what, you know, morning guys. I don't know, but he intended to pass him by. I guess he saw him. So, I also think this was just Jesus and the disciples. There was no one else there. It was just them 13. You normally you don't see that. It was usually other people there, but it was just them. What else? Jesus, I thought Jesus was a ghost. This was at night on the fourth watch. And my footnote says, at night, 3 to 6 a.m. Anything else for move number 5? All right, Mark 7. Verses 31-37. Short miracle here, but a lot packed into it. Go ahead, Demar.
Again, he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, within the region of Decapolis. They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and implored him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him aside to the front of the crowd by himself and put his finger into his ears. After spitting, he touched his tongue with saliva, and looking up to the heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, "This is the open." And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly. And he gave them orders not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. They were utterly astonished, saying, "He has done all things well, and makes even the deaf hear and to speak."
Thank you. I couldn't pronounce that word in 34 either, so I'm glad you took it on. Well, once again, Sea of Galilee. That was, folks, I didn't mean to have all these Sea of Galilee. It just worked out that way. So what was the miracle here? Or miracles, miracle with two benefits. Healing of the deaf man, and naturally, if you can't hear very well, you probably can't speak very well either. Who requested this miracle? Yeah. They. Whoever that is, right? Maybe the local people. Start back in. They implored him to lay hands on him. So, maybe good people, maybe a good guy. They cared about him. Jesus could help him. Well, but... since we're spending all our time here in the Sea of Galilee, that obviously the word has got out about this Jesus fella. We're not sure who he is, but we know what he can do. We've heard stories, right? He's healing people. He's walking on water. He's feeding people. So maybe he can heal this guy as well. Who benefited from it? Obviously the man and the people that requested it. All right, I want y'all to explain this one to me. How was the miracle performed? Well, first of all, he took him aside by himself, right? That's different. That's interesting. He put his fingers in his ears. Let me get my glass so I can make sure I read this correctly. His finger to his ears. After spitting, he's touched his tongue with the saliva. Now, mine with saliva is in italics. So that's not, he just touched his tongue. I don't know why they thought they needed to, I guess because they said the spitting, they needed to include the saliva part. And he looked up to heaven with a deep sigh. That's an interesting comment there for me. He said, Epiphatha, that is, be open. His ears were open, and the impediment of the speech removed, he began to speak plainly. That would be a sight to behold.
I'm sorry.
Nope. Go. Yep. Yes. Yeah, great point. Absolutely. Someone today is deaf, hard of hearing, gets surgery, gets hearing aids. Their speech doesn't get better. They have to relearn that. That's why this is a miracle, right? That's why this can't be duplicated. What else? What else is unique? Obviously, witness the event, the man. Did the people witness the event? Not really. They saw the results, but they didn't actually see what happened.
And they didn't just ask him, they
implored him. Yep. Implored means what? How would you define the word implored? Please, help this guy. Please. Kind of like Manna does with Wyatt to clean his room. Imploring. Please. It's probably a different avenue versus those two. But yeah, they knew he was in a bad way. He needed help. Yeah, you know, I don't know, is looking up to the heaven with a deep sigh. Read anything to that? I don't. Usually a deep sigh means you're kind of either frustrated or. Just a unique comment put in there that I don't think I know why it's what it means. And you see, Jesus orders them not to tell anyone. Does that ever work? Did people ever keep quiet? I don't think they did. To me, that's kind of a big ask. Like, okay, a guy who can hear and can't talk and now can do both, and I'm supposed to not tell anybody? That's human nature, I would think.
Well, that almost goes back to Jesus when he asked Peter about how he would feed these people. He already knew.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, obviously, he knows everything's going to happen, right? Mark?
Like telling somebody don't press the big red button, right?
He's going to see what it does.
This particular story is an illustration of a couple of them that there's times, at least they, people ask where I answer something, I do not know. I don't know why he spit. I don't know why he put his fingers in his ear. He didn't have to do all of that.
No. It's all speculation, right? We don't know. And is it just Jesus showing that I can heal people this way, I can heal them that way? Pick a way you want me to, or I think I can't do it. I can do it any way I want because I'm the Son of God. And that's the point I'm trying to prove to you people. Anything else before we move on? We'll do one more. Number 6. Let's go to Mark 9 on this one. Mark 9:17. I'll do this one since it's a longer one. Mark 9:17. And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed of the spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do it." He answered them and said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion. Falling to the ground, he began rolling around, foaming at the mouth. He asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He said, "From childhood. He has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to those who believe." Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." After crying out and throwing him into a terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." Jesus took him by the hand and raised him and got up. When he came into the house, the disciples began questioning him privately. "Why could we not drive him out?" He said to them, This kind cannot come out anything but prayer." And from there he went out and began to go through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know about it. Once again. So, another child possessed. Galilee area. Healing of the possessed boy. So how is this different from the previous child? Similar, different? What do you think? How the spirit affected or treated this child, the son? Slam. So this kind of tells me that the boy's a little bit older, right? Maybe a teenager. Say it's from childhood, right? How long this has been going on? But Donald, to your point earlier, Jesus asked the question like he didn't know the answer. That's kind of an interesting tidbit. He knew how long it had been going on. But this, what would this spirit do? Slam him to the ground, foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and stiffens out. Can you imagine witnessing that, your child going through that event? And I guess I don't know enough about all the symptoms of epilepsy, if these are similar, but I mean, this would be horrific if as a parent, watch this. Watch your child go through this. So, obviously, the boy's father requested this miracle. Who benefited? The boy, the father, the crowd, his disciples. Everybody benefits from this one, right? Everybody sees it. How was the miracle performed? Jesus rebukes the spirit, tells him to leave him. Now, I thought this was a little different. He told him to come out of him and do not enter him again. I thought that's a little different. But did they have? If he didn't say this, did he have the ability to enter him? I don't know. That would make me nervous for the one we read previously, right? He didn't say that to that one. So I don't know. I read that with sarcasm. Like Jesus saying, if you can, like if I can.
That part, yes.
Okay.
The second part, all things are possible to him who believes. The confirmation that he believes.
Yeah, it's making an objection on that verse.
Absolutely.
As we know, the punctuation is put there by man. So the way this is punctuated in the American is a question. Jesus turned the table.
Well, I think verse 24 furthers your point when he said, help me with my unbelief. I guess maybe he wasn't quite sure that Jesus could do it. Right. Yes. The father didn't have... Right. Well, the disciples had the same issue. In the Matthew version of this, in verse 20, Jesus tells them, it's the littlest of your faith is why you couldn't do this. Wrapping up here, what else is unique about this one? What happens? Jesus tells the spirit to leave. What happens? Is the boy up and running playing soccer? What happens right after? People are worried, right? Hey. Not initially, he didn't get up. What did it say? The boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead. Oh, Jesus, this is not looking good. Jesus took him by the hand when he got up. So, yeah, he's healed. He's fine. So. And they, you know, they went, it's in one of the versions, they went privately to Jesus and say, why couldn't we do this? It was bothering them. How come you can and we can't? And it said the littleness of your faith in Matthew, in verse 20. We're 10 till, so we'll call it there unless you got anything else on number 6. I just got a head start on the next one, so I got two already done. Thank y'all for your comments.